season is essentially past us now. The dairy farmers have baled the last of the hay, chopped the last of the corn for winter fodder. The few farm stands that are still open offer only the hardiest of produce, the pumpkins and the squash and the Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts always end up on our Thanksgiving table. I don't know about you. For many of our ancestors, this end of the growing season was marked by an ingathering festival. In Jewish tradition, the Feast of Sukkoth marked the end of the harvest, and it included a celebration at the temple and a presentation of a tenth of the grains and the produce that the fields and the trees had yielded to them. The indigenous peoples who dwelt in this region before us harvested and prepared preserved foods for the long winter to come, and then they tucked up into their longhouses, community dwellings, where they would spend the darkest months in close community. You've heard me say before, some of my ancestry is rooted in Scotland, where ingathering was also a communal activity, but the long winter beyond that day was spent in their respective dwellings. During the last days of harvesting, people allowed the fires at their home hearths to go out, because part of the harvest celebration was kindling a large community bonfire, and then each member of the community would light a torch from that community fire to take home and kindle the fire in their own homes, the fire that they would stoke and keep going all winter long, all the way into the summer season, all the way till the next harvest time. That ember which kindled their home fire and would burn all winter long represented not just light against darkness, not just warmth against cold, but also it carried the reminder of community through the months of separation and isolation. Each home, each family was bound together through that community fire. In whatever form we view fire, whether hearth or lamp or torch, its purpose is to give light and to give warmth, to illuminate the dark corners, expose a pathway, perhaps even reveal obstacles along the way. Even a single light can dispel our fears and give us a sense of peace and hope. The bridesmaids in today's parable have a big responsibility. In Jesus' time, the wedding tradition included a procession from the groom's home to the bride's, where they would seal the marriage, and then the bride and groom would travel to the groom's family home, where he would have built a new room for her. That's where the couple would reside, and they would hold a celebration. When the bridegroom in the parable is delayed until midnight, lamplight becomes necessary for seeing the way to the bride's home, seeing the way back to the groom's home. The job of the bridesmaids is more than simply to keep the bride company or to put on their prettiest dresses for the celebration. Their work is to keep the lamps lit, to light the pathway, to provide a measure of comfort and peace to one who travels in the dark. The New Testament parables are a type of metaphor. So while we read that this is a story about bridesmaids waiting for the groom to arrive and for the wedding to begin, we're also meant to read more into it. This is a Kingdom of God story. And while we are all looking forward to the day when we reach God's kingdom, where the brightly lit celebration and the big wedding banquet are available to us, we also have tasks while we wait. We have lamps to keep lit here and now. We have darkness to dispel. We have peace and hope to spread. At least that's the message gospel writer Matthew wants us to hear. This parable comes from Matthew's gospel, which is also the gospel where we read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the one in which he proclaims, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the household. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. A lamp has to do its job. It has to shine, to illuminate, to enlighten. And it does those things not for its own sake, but for the sake of others. The bridesmaids need to keep their lamps lit in order for others to find their way. So when we read that you and I are expected to shine our lights for others, to illuminate the pathways of this world, to dispel the darkness and expose the pitfalls, that means we are to provide a source of peace and hope for the world we are living in right now. Light, kindled and nurtured in community, shining brightly for the sake of community, right here, right now. It is the job of every one of us who considers ourselves children of God and followers of Jesus. It is not work that is reserved for the prominent or the powerful. The bridesmaids were likely the childhood friends of the bride, her companions from toddlerhood, the neighbor children she played dolls with and games of tag. The responsibility to keep the lamps lit, the pathways bright, and the darkness at bay is one that we, God's people, all share, and one we must support one another in doing. That's what makes our shared worship time important, whether it's online or in person. Being together in our worship is important. Our prayers for one another, those help to kindle that light of community. The letters the Apostle Paul writes to the first century churches remind them in many ways to kindle the faith light they share for the sake of the world. And it is kindled and tended in small ways, in encouraging one another, in helping others, praying for one another, praying continually, Paul says. It is in giving thanks to God in all our circumstances, in rejecting evil, and in doing what is good in God's eyes. British author J.R.R. Tolkien tackled the metaphysical battle of good and evil in his book series, The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien's Gandalf the Grey is a powerful wizard who accompanies an unlikely fellowship of pretty ordinary folk, an elf, a dwarf, humans, and hobbits, on their quest to vanquish an evil beyond anything that's been seen before in history. Hobbits are peaceful people who live simple lives, never dream of power or greatness, never seek adventure. And yet Gandalf sees in four ordinary hobbits the definition of hope. Gandalf says, "Some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I have found that it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. Those are the deeds we are called to embrace and to pursue. Acts of kindness and love that keep the darkness at bay and shine the light of hope. We are called to use the tools of encouragement and prayer and thanksgiving to engage in acts of beauty that bring light and hope to a world in pain." Amen.